Colonel Walton, Reel 3.
Punjabi Mussulman I always thought was the best of the Indian troop, speaking as an outsider, of course. He may not have the actual dash and flair of the Sikh, and he may not have the stubborn resistance of the Gurkha, but for general all-round soldiering, he's pretty good at everything.
You said that you preferred the Pathan of all sections of the Indian population. Well, were there any sections whom you didn't particularly like?
I don't think so particularly. I had very little experience of southern Indian troops, that is to say, Madras or Bombay Sappers and Miners and those sort of people, largely because I didn't speak any of their languages. I know most of them speak English, but I think that's probably, but I had very little experience of them. In saying the PM was the best of the Indian troops, I rather include the Pathan in that, but the thing about the Pathan is he is excellent if he is your man. If he's not, then he isn't any good.
How do you mean exactly?
Well, that I mean, if he trusts you and sticks by you, he's excellent. But if he doesn't like you, he's just as likely to knife you in the back as anything.
Can we talk about everyday life in India? You said a little bit about the accommodation which you had. What about the food? Was it English-style food or Indian-style?
Mostly English-style. I mean, there were, seemed to be unlimited eggs. They were all very small by English standards of eggs, but if you were travelling on the road and stopped at a rest house, which was known as a traveller's bungalow, dark bungalow, you could walk in at any time of the day and you get scrambled eggs or fried eggs or anything of that sort for a meal. They were always there. I think you missed a certain amount of some of the meat, the beef particularly was rather tough, but that was probably because in hot climate you can't hang meat for long enough, and I gather beef that wants to be tender ought to be hung for a bit before it's cooked. Mutton was fairly good, lamb and mutton were fairly good. Vegetables varied a bit in what part of India you were. Hill stations you had good vegetables, in the plains not so good. And of course a lot of tinned food was eaten.
What was the standard of cooking like?
Excellent. Yes, I'd hate to see the Savoy chef try and turn out a meal like some of the Indian cooks did with some of the ingredients that they had with which to do it.
Did the Indian cooks come from any particular part of the country?
It's hard to say. I think you generally recruited them locally. The advantage of that was that they knew where they could buy the best vegetables and things like that. Your cook, or Kansama as he was called, did most of the shopping.
Why was that?
Well, he knew where to go, you see. If you were married, your wife couldn't go down to the bazaar and shop about for decent tomatoes or cabbages or anything of that sort. And the cook knew where he could get them, and he would get them far less than you, less price than you would. He would probably charge you more than he'd paid for them, but it would still be less than you would have had to pay if you'd gone down for it.
Did you buy anything from India to bring home in the way of handicrafts and so on?
I suppose I must have got a few things, but I can't think of anything in particular. I'm not a collector of things, actually. I have a few photographs, and that's about all. But
So you didn't take any particular interest in Indian arts and crafts or anything like
no,
that?
no.
Did you get out to see any of the famous sites of India, like the Taj Mahal?
Oh yes, I've seen the Taj and is there anything else people think they ought to see? The Gateway of India, Bombay, I suppose.
Did you go to the Ellora Caves or anything like
No,
that?
no.
Did you go to Mahabalipuram whilst you were at Madras?
No. No, I didn't. I wasn't at Madras awfully long, and most of that time I was in Bellary anyhow. And now I suppose one always says, "Oh, I can do that next year," and then next year doesn't come. You aren't there, sort of thing.
How well suited did the clothing with which you'd been issued in England prove to be once you got to India for Indian climatic conditions?
Oh, perfectly all right, but generally speaking, most people bought their thin stuff out in India, made of cotton drill that was made in India. And it was generally far cheaper, of course, and generally more serviceable than the khaki drill made in England. It was coarser but stronger. If you've seen an Indian washerman, dhobi, trying to break stones with your best shirt, you'll understand why they are to be strong. They get them amazingly clean, but they do take a bashing. I'm told that they probably don't do much more harm to fabrics than some of the detergents which are put into washing machines now, but that I couldn't speak with authority on.
Who looked after your kit? The bearer?
Yes, entirely. You know, if anything was torn, it would get mended. Theoretically, he mended it, but in fact, I often suspect his wife did. But you never saw your bearer's wife, really. She was in the servants' quarters, and she wasn't employed by you. But I'm quite certain they did a lot of work in the background. It's quite unlike the Indian to keep a wife in luxury if she doesn't work.
Did the servants live on your compound? Or
yes,
some
there were servants' quarters at the back of the bungalow.
Can we talk a little bit about the mess? Was there much mess life in your
Oh, yes.
Regiment?
Yes. The mess really was the focal point for everything, because you lived in small numbers around the mess in threes and fours and that sort of thing. And it wasn't like a mess in England where you all live in mess. When I say you lived around the mess, you slept in various houses, but you fed in the mess and you met in the mess in the anteroom and that sort of thing. So the mess was really the focal point. And there was a British staff. You had a British Mr. Sergeant, and probably he had two corporals, you know, one looking after the wines and one looking after something else. And then there was a large Indian staff of Khitmatgars, who was a sort of waiter, and the head mess bearer, and cooks, and then cleaners. How many, I really couldn't say. Quite an enormous payroll, I seem to remember.
Did you have any special mess ceremonies or traditions in your regiment?
One was we were, the full title of the Greenhards is Alexandra Princess of Wales's own, and for years after her death, we used to, after the royal toast, we drank a toast to her, which went on for years. It was stopped later on, and we got a new colonel-in-chief, which was Håkon of Norway.
Did you have a special mess kit to wear?
Yes, there's the home service one, on which was blue overalls, and we had two waistcoats, a dress waistcoat, which was covered in gold braid, but and terribly expensive and also wore out fairly easily. But for ordinary mess nights, there was a plain waistcoat. And then the red jacket with green facings. And in India, of course, those red jackets were too hot to wear, and they wore white ones instead, white drill ones.
Was a lot of attention paid to health and sanitation in India?
Oh, yes. Yes, there were, in particular, I seem to remember, you used to have once a week what was called a dry day. That didn't mean you didn't drink anything. It meant that any pool or place where water was poured down in your bungalow had to be cleaned out and dried out. Now, the reason for that is the mosquito breeds in water or wet, and if one answer were weak, there is nowhere for him to breed, it's dried out and cleaned out and that sort of thing, you gradually eradicate the mosquito. And the mosquito doesn't fly far, so that if you have a dry area, I'm not quite sure what the area is, but if you have a dry area of about a mile round your camp or anything, you won't have any more mosquitoes.
Did you fall sick yourself in India?
I had malaria. I think everyone gets it eventually. And of course, when you get it, it very often comes, you don't require another mosquito sting to give it you. If you have it in your blood, it can recur. But I rather gather they have techniques which can stop that nowadays. But I was really fairly healthy. I don't remember being sick often.
Were you taking any form of prophylaxis against malaria?
Yes, in the jungle we had these yellow pills. I can't remember the name of the damn stuff, but it's supposed to kill any malarial germ in your blood. Also, another thing which we used to take in the jungle was some salt pills. because you sweat out a lot of sweat, and with that a lot of salt out of your body, and you require to put it back.
This was during the Second World War.
Yes, yes. Mepocrine, I think they think is the stuff. Anyone who's been in India will know the thing. You swallow it quickly because it has a ghastly taste if you happen to stick it in your mouth a short time.
What did you think to the standard of treatment which you got in India for your malaria?
Oh, that's one thing. The Indian Army Medical Corps really understood with the tropical diseases and fevers and things. And I mean, they mightn't give you a very good operation for a hernia or anything, but if you've got malaria, they could cure you.
Can you tell me what your daily routine was in India in a typical day?
Well, you always got up early, largely because in the hot weather, the nicest time of the day was early in the morning. Took a certain amount of exercise before breakfast. There were either drill parades or anything where in the early morning. Then you came in and had breakfast and started work again about 10 o'clock. Generally speaking, after about 10 or 11, I'm talking of the hot stations, there were no parades outside, and all office work or education or anything that was done after 11 o'clock. From 11 to about 1, when you had lunch, generally speaking, there was another break from after lunch until about 5 in the evening. And then from 5 on, you either played games, or if there were any more parades to be done, they were done then. In other words, you worked outside in the cool part of the day, and inside, and it was hot.
What were relations like between the officers and men in India? Was the relationship between them any different to that in the United Kingdom?
No, I don't think so, except I think you saw more of your men in India, because at home, if you finish work on Friday midday or something, you possibly went away for the weekend and you didn't come back until Monday morning. Well, whereas in India, you couldn't sort of slip off for a weekend mostly because there wasn't anywhere to go. And so during the weekend, you probably saw the men more, playing games or that sort of thing.
So it was a closer relationship?
Yes, I think so, yes. I think you'd say that. I mean, after all, you were a very closely knit community, the European population out there.
What was your leave entitlement?
2 months a year.
And how did you spend it?
Well, if you were rich enough, and after flying to and from India became so easy, of course you could easily fly home for a couple of months. Otherwise, you were into a hill station. I went normally to Kashmir. At the beginning of the hot weather, generally in Meerut, we'd say lasts about 5 months, and I sent my family up to Kashmir, and when I had my leave, I went up there and stayed with them.
Did you find much difference between India when you went to India in the 20s to when you came back in the 30s?
I suppose certain things had altered, but basically it was very much the same, I think. When I came back in the 30s, of course, I was married with a family and that made a slight difference.
What was the main difference for a soldier in India? What were the main differences for as a bachelor as compared with a married man?
Well, a married man, if you're fed up with your own house, you can stroll around to the mess for a drink. Whereas a bit bachelor, if you're fed up with the mess, there isn't anywhere to go. That's the answer.
What kind of a life could the married women lead in the cantonments in India?
Well, in the cold weather in a place like Meerut or anything, they had quite a good time, I think, because they were all members of the club and they either played golf or tennis or both, and they had coffee parties in the morning. What women talk about at coffee parties, I don't know, but they certainly talk enough. Some liked it and some didn't. That was just the. But that was the same with the men. I mean, some men moved heaven and earth to get her home, whereas some were quite content to stay out there.
So the regiment had no particular problems with the married with the married ladies, with keeping them entertained and so on.
No. Hot weather stations. They either went to the regimental hill station or to Kashmir or home. Again, home rather depended on your purse, if you could afford to send them home in the summer. But against that, of course, if your wife, we'll say, had a family at home, you could pay for the airfare for her and the family to go home. And she would stay with her family, in which case you wouldn't have the expense of keeping your family in Kashmir, and so it evened out that way.
Did you have children whilst you were in India?
Yes, I had two.
What did you think to the education which they received there?
Well, mine were both fairly young, and we had living in sort of nursery governess. And they were still quite small when the war clouds started to blow over, and so I sent them home, and they got most of their education at home.
The governess had, you'd brought the governess out from England, had
Yes,
you?
yes, yes.
How did that arrangement work out?
Well, in this case, very well. Generally speaking, the sort of thought was if you brought an English nurse or an English governess out from India, out from England to India, either she got married straight away because of the shortage of marriageable women, or all that was difficulty with her, or that sort of thing. However, we managed to keep ours for some time, and I think the answer was, sounds an awful thing to say, but her social status was, she considered herself rather above the sergeant class, and the officers considered her slightly below their class. In other words, she was in between. And so she never formed a particular attachment either to a sergeant or an officer. You see. Eventually, she married an army dentist, so I suppose he might have been said to be halfway between.
Why did you decide on this arrangement of an English nanny rather than an ayah?
I don't know. The ayahs are awfully good, but of course they can't teach the children anything, and they generally learn the bad habits and bad English from them. I don't mean swear words, I mean just badly spoken English.
What type of bad habits?
Well, they the very good ones, I suppose, are all right, but they don't keep the child as carefully and as cleanly as an English nurse would, I think.
Did the family keep healthy in India?
Yes, yes, extremely.
In the clubs of which you are a member, did Indians have access to the clubs in your day?
There were some clubs which were only British personnel. I rather think the first time I was out there, the Madras Club was certainly one of those. The second time I was there, the Meerut Club and the Ferozepur Club, I think the higher-ranking Indian civil servant and that sort of thing would automatically be a member of the club.
Which station did you prefer in India?
Oh, Meerut.
Why was that?
Well, it has a gorgeous cold weather climate, for one thing, and you can have practically every form of sport there that you could want. And it was the home of pig sticking and horses and that sort of thing. And it wasn't so expensive. Pune was a nice station and it is also good climate, but it was awfully expensive.
Where did the expense come in?
I don't know, but everything seemed more expensive. The food was more expensive. Pune's rather a fashionable place. It's the hill station for Bombay, and you get a lot of tourists up there, and that always puts the price of everything up.
And what about Madras? Didn't you like Madras?
Well, oh yes, I like Madras. It was not a highly desirable climate, I must say, but oh, it was all right. I wasn't there very long, actually, but and it was my first impression of India, and so you're rather learning it.
Were there any
Oh,
station?
of course, one station I haven't mentioned among my favourites, of course, is Peshawar. That's in, well, I was going to say on the Northwest Front, it almost is. That again has an excellent winter climate and any amount of sport. A very friendly station as well.
Were there any stations which you actually disliked?
Don't think so. We were in Ferozepur for a short time. It was that's near Lahore. Yes, that was neither one thing nor the other. It was a sort of small station, a sort of satellite of Lahore. And if you wanted to do anything, you had to go into Lahore.
Did you have the opportunity to make Indian friends?
Oh, yes. Yes, you often met, well, Indian officers in Indian regiments nearby, or the Very often local ICS personnel, the Indian citizens who were Indians, and
Did you ever go into their houses for meals or any social
yes,
activity?
I, that's one thing I was trying to remember. Can't remember there that I did very much. I did, well, later on when I was in Malaya,